in this session of the Senate Health, Education, and Social Service Committee and explain the purpose of this afternoon's proceedings and why we are here. I am Joe Josephson, the chairman of the Senate Health, Education, and Social Service Committee. On my immediate right is Senator Dick Fisher, the vice chairman, and we're very pleased to have with us as a guest of the committee the senior member of the Anchorage Senate delegation, Senator Pat Rhodes. And Senator Fisher's asked that we move over there so we can face the people. I think that would be better.
No, that's it. That's a difference so far.
That means that these chairs are available if anybody wants to sit here.
We were seated in the other direction this morning because we had testimony from the people who Governor Sheffield has proposed to be regents of the University of Alaska. And we wanted to discuss the university and its future with them here in Anchorage because we have felt that it's important to bring some perspectives of the Anchorage delegation, the Anchorage community, to these nominees and to do it on the campus. And we wanted to take the same opportunity to talk about the student loan program today. Let me emphasize that there is no legislation that I'm aware of concerning the student loan program that is before the Senate. So we are not in a situation where we're going to ask you whether you support Senate Bill 21 or Senate Bill 46 because there is no such animal on the subject that is brought to our attention. But there is an issue that we know we will encounter concerning the future of the program and the funding of the program. We were just handed some printouts which show, as of January 18, 1983, expenditures on this program of $61 million, in excess of $61 million. And there are estimates of expenditures, if the program remains unchanged, in excess of $80 million in FY 84, and estimates of $150 million or more by 1988. Those projections create very real concern to the governor and legislators faced with declining oil revenue and desiring to see that the student loan program is maintained on a perpetual basis and that we are never in a position in which future legislators do drastic things with it or eliminate the program because the state has run out of money. So it's incumbent on us to explore various alternatives and to hear from the public and to consider whatever initiatives the governor wants to take in this area because we know he does want to take initiatives. And with that, I would like to introduce to you Kerry Romesberg, who is the executive director of the Post-Secondary Education Commission, which administers this program, and by the way, to which I was appointed as a member just the other day, and ask him to review the position of the Sheffield administration on this issue. This is the first I have heard of this, so this information is new to me and new to you. Kerry, would you like to proceed?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. By way of starting, what I'd like to do is walk through just the information sheet that I did pass out, just so we'll all know what we're talking about in terms of what the student loan program is and the circumstances that we are under. The loan program generally provides low-interest student loans for students.
Kerry, could I interrupt you just again? I better make a disclaimer, because we live in such a common law conflict of interest area, that I am the parent of two people who receive student loans. And so if anyone wonders whether I like the program or whether I have a special interest, the answer is yes, yes. And with that, I'll go back to the
sure. Continue the disclaimer. I'm the parent of three kids, two of whom have received student loans. But none of mine are currently receiving student loans. Go ahead.
Okay.
I might as well continue. My two boys aren't in college yet.
But you hope they'll make it.
I hope they will be.
Nor are mine. Mine are too young still. The program provides low-interest student loans, 5% interest rate is currently charged. We will loan up to $6,000 for an undergraduate per year, up to $7,000 for a graduate student per year. You can borrow for a total of 8 years, and more than five of which may be used for either undergraduate study or graduate study. The loans have to be repaid in 10 years after you cease to
reside in Alaska after completing your degree. By the way, that's something people don't always remember. You have to complete the program of study. Then, if you reside in Alaska, you're eligible to have up to 50% of what you borrow, including interest, forgiven or canceled, written off at 10% per year, life interest for each year that you remain in Alaska after completion. It is truly the most generous question of whether or not to continue the fund program in its current form is the one that we're dealing with currently, and we will be dealing with the Senate and House. There's just one bill before them, however, there are other proposals coming in. Now, just to give you an idea of the magnitude of the program. Number one here just shows you the program status. This was as of January 18th. The reason it's dated January 18th is because we stopped making loans on the 14th of January, and this gives you a summary of the circumstances at that time. We ran out of money. It wasn't unexpected. We asked last year for full funding for the program for the legislature. We indicated that at that time it would be about $62 million to fund the entire program. The legislature gave us $59 million with instructions not to come back. Don't come back and ask for a supplemental. So indeed we are not. And we have not. There is a supplemental bill in the House. It is requested. We can't imagine we'll oppose it strongly, but we did ask for it. You'll notice, out of the $59 million available, we've awarded $61 million. Wonder how we can do that. The reason we can do that is because we know that a certain percentage of students are going to get loans for the first semester and not continue to have a semester for a variety of reasons. They may simply cease to be a student, they may become academically ineligible, they may not be hard to attend. By the way, we have defined attending for the first time this year. To me, students to maintain a student loan have to have at least for another grade, have to have at least a C average, and they have to enroll in and successfully complete 12 semester credit hours per term. And what that means is you enroll in 12 hours, and for one reason or another, supposedly you're drop-wise, or CBT or something, and decide you're going to drop the 1 hour credit, you end up completing 11 hours. We don't care if it's 11 hours a day, you're not a full-time student, you don't get your loan for the semester. The first time, the state imposed those kinds of requirements. So if you have an issue, as a result of that, by the way, you have a record number of canceled loans in the second semester. The graduate student has to maintain a B average, at least a B average, and they have to enroll in and complete successfully at least 9 hours of graduate credit. All right. You can see, again, just the range of the borrowers, how many freshmen, and so on. Items 2 and 3 are usually of interest, because people like to know where the loans are being used. If you go to item 3, and then I'll refer back to 2, item 3 shows you that there is a distinct trend toward in-state attendance. And this has been continuing over the last number of 4 or 5 years. From in 78, 79, we had 35% of the people that were borrowing again in Alaska for the current year, when we have almost 52%. And again, the trend is demonstrated by looking at the borrowing levels. Freshmen, 56% of the freshmen borrowing current year are attending in Alaska. 50% of the sophomores have been scaled down somewhat. But again, just for your information. On the second page, you see where people do attend. The pattern remains almost constant, regardless of what year the student is enrolled in, other than some change in location. But you can see that people attend Alaska first, the state of Washington, Oregon, California, and so on. So Western states are those that are heavily dominated by the student loan program.
I might say Representative Terry Martin, House District 13.
Age distribution of the borrowers, again, just an interest item to see what age our borrowers are. And then one that's quite often talked about, and that's residency. That's item number 6 down at the bottom. You can see that of the freshman borrowers, 243 out of the 4,000 were exactly 2-year residents, at least that's what they told us on their application. On the page 3, default. The question that always comes up is, how are we doing in terms of collecting on student loans? We're doing a lot better than we used to. We're down, this is measured in June, and we measured in June because that's the uniform time to report the default rate and compare it with the national statistics for student loans. We've made a lot of progress on this. We're down around 9%. On the next page,
may I just ask, do you have any figures indicating if or not the
short-term residency factor is growing in terms of the number of borrowers. Yeah, whether the proportion of what we used to call chachas in Alaska is growing to the coast of the region. Yes, it is. Senator Paul Fisher. On the next page is a chart. This really speaks to the heart of the issue here. It just shows you the loan volume. Starting in 1971, when we had 1,000 borrowers going to the present, below the line, by the way, hasn't been updated, it says 13,000. You notice on the first page, it's a little over 59 million dollars, and the figures that are being discussed, and I'll discuss in a minute, just follow down, you'll see that by 1977, 78 is $151 million dollars in the program of 2017, 160 almost $170 million dollars in 1989. So the program will continue to grow at about this rate based on our projections. That also is based on a two-year residency. We are in court on the two-year residency at the present time. We have not heard whether or not that's going to go down or be sustained. We don't know. It's safe to say that the court says we cannot impose a two-year residency. It can have to be 12 months or something less, that these numbers will escalate to the high. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
What is the third column, the loan volume, based on?
Thank you. take a loan to go to 3 years of law school, and then a loan to take a law degree.
Yeah.
He may not be a good lawyer, but he'll be a very good banker. Appreciate you, Kevin.
Now, having gone through that, scale that we do have another major problem here. I've confronted parents and especially the students who are in the system now. The major problem I see right now is that I'm in it and I'm going to get as much as I can from it now. And I really don't give a hoot about the students for the next year or 4 years from now. And the truth of the matter is we just don't have the money to put in $65 million this year, $85 million this year, and $100 million the next year. It just seems to me that, number one, the forgiveness was put in there when at the time they said we needed to get our young brain trust back to the state, that perhaps we could be paying them again for this brain trust that went out. And I think we've got to land the brain in the state here, in the state.
We have another request in the budget this year for a pilot training program.
I want to personally request to be a course of the but I do want to have this dialogue that is a lot of effective and relate to something concrete. And that the character is very good for the care today. Very short.
Just a comment. I helped write the bill and Kerry is relaying some of the comments from the governor, but she also pointed out that the success that we have in this program is due in large part to the fact that the program is formally extended to the administration position, which I don't agree with, and I quite frankly think that the administration had a great deal of trouble getting the state senate to buy this. The Pinnacle program has done work the last few years. The Pinnacle program in the United States. There are ways within the community of expenditure, but vetting the program in the federal suit is not a viable option. It's not a viable
option. I think what you're hearing is some of us here were doing this in this country. It's very good.
the loans be public. It is important that the public understand that there is a full-time staff following through on defaulted loans, and that 93 cases have been decided in favor of the state. We believe that the media be fully utilized in dealing with the misconception on the present use of the loan funds, and that a positive educational campaign be established. Six, we believe that the disbursement of the loans be tightened, and that educational institutions use a standardized procedure. Seven, we urge that the local office be established in Anchorage to allay the frustration when obtaining information about individual loans. These were the points that we came up with and are very general. We discussed the student loan program in its entirety